Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2014. And in today's podcast, we once again discuss suicide in the military, but also the growing numbers of murders and violent confrontations involving veterans. According to CNN, every day in America, 22 veterans take their own lives. That's one every 65 minutes. As shocking as that number is, the actual number is probably much higher. The number is based on figures released by the Department of Veterans Affairs in February. It contains data from 21 states representing 40% of the population, so the numbers are probably much higher than 22 per day, but nevertheless, those are the figures we have. California, Texas, and Illinois, for example, did not make their data available. Part of the problem is that there is no uniform reporting system for deaths in America. It's usually done by a coroner or funeral director. And if that person doesn't list veteran status, who's to know whether the person was a veteran or not? Also, quite often homeless people go unreported as suicides and are sometimes otherwise reported in different ways. People commit suicide in different ways. Suicide by cop, single car traffic accidents, drug overdoses, and the like all might not be reported as actual suicide. Defense Department officials report that 30% of all veterans have had suicidal thoughts and 45% report knowing someone who has attempted suicide. Nearly one in five suicides nationally is a veteran, though veterans make up only 10% of the population. Suicide is widespread across the wars and across the ranks. It is a growing cause of death among special forces. Admiral William McRaven, who is commander of Special Operations Command, said, quote, "My soldiers have been fighting now for 12 or 13 years in hard combat, and anybody who has spent any time in this war has been changed by it." Well, combat stress is one reason for veteran suicides, but military sexual assaults are another reason. According to psychologist Craig Bryan, who has studied these things, military victims of sexual assault or rape are six times more likely to attempt suicide than military non-victims. Interestingly, more than 69% of all veteran suicides were among those 50 years old and older, even though there were 350 active duty suicides in 2012. Those 50 and over are likely Vietnam veterans who return to a hostile public and unresponsive Veterans Administration. Combat stress was called crazy back then, and many lived with it with no help. As bad as all this is, it gets even worse, folks. Suicide is not the only thing. Since 2002, veterans have left a bloody trail of murder, killing wives, girlfriends, children, fellow soldiers, friends, and complete strangers. The first veterans of the Afghanistan war returned to Fort Bragg, North Carolina in 2002, and in quick succession, four of them murdered their wives, after which three of them committed suicide. By 2005, Fort Bragg had its 10th such fatality, while veterans in Washington State had seven homicides and three suicides. The New York Times tried in 2008 to get a nationwide count of such crimes. It listed 121 cases in which veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan committed or were charged with committing murder in this country. That was a 90% increase in the 6 years since Afghanistan was invaded. The Times noted, however, it was able to find only a minimum number of such cases that actually occurred. In 2008, after the 4th Brigade Combat Team of Fort Carson, Colorado, returned from Iraq, nine of its members were charged with homicide, while charges of rape, domestic violence, and sexual assault rose sharply. We are all families with the recent case. We are all familiar with the recent case of Ivan Lopez, who used a .45 caliber handgun to kill three soldiers and wound 16 at Fort Hood, Texas. He was not a religious or political extremist, but appeared to be just one more of America's wounded veterans. This was the second mass killing in 4.5 years at Fort Hood. Major Nadal Hassan killed 13 people there the first time. Some veterans go from the military to a career in law enforcement. In Texas today, 37% of the police in Austin are ex-military, and in many small towns across America, the figure is above 50%. These men come to civilian law enforcement trained for and good at war. Disaffected veterans share some of these things in common, according to the study recently, the Washington Post Kaiser Survey. Almost half think American civilians don't respect them, and more than half feel disconnected from American life. They believe they have a higher moral and ethical value than their fellow citizens. 60% think they are more patriotic than civilians. 90% say they would fight again. A recurring theme among these men has been going back into combat, diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and medicated mental health conditions. During the president's recent speech at Fort Hood, Texas, he said, "We're going to reach those who are hurting and not stigmatize those who are seeking help." He didn't say anything about stepping back from the insanity, though. This is all very disturbing, folks, but that's the way it is. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.